The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 2003.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today I'm the only chick here. Send us your women. Yes.
How much for a little girl?
That's right. But they're such great guys, so it doesn't matter that way. To my right, from the College of Engineering and Science, Department of Mathematics, and Director of Math Education, and the baker of some great bread, it's Professor Jeff Bouts.
And there's a woman inside me just trying to get out, Kathy, but I'm not going to let her.
All right, that's right. You keep her locked up in there. And from the Department of Communication Studies, someone who was seen the other night on the last Tiger game, was it?
Absolutely.
It's Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
Hey, what you got to say?
Hollywood,
and
swangin'.
See, we know that song.
We totally know that song.
Cool
Jerry and I
gang.
Come from that. Yes, that 70s, send us some pimp music, indeed.
And, it was Celebrate at the Wedding and Proud Mary and all the other great wedding songs.
So what do you have to say about the Detroit Tigers? They got a lot of attention for their non-record season.
I was pleased that they did not set the record for futility. However, almost no regular players for the Twins played in that whole four-game series. It was kind of a false sense of glory. I know Mitch Albom wrote a column afterwards saying that they should just stop celebrating and patting themselves on the back for being one game away from being the worst team in history and go to the dentist and get the root canal.
There you go.
I kind of think that's what's needed. But
although you look very happy on the broadcast.
Well, actually, we were happier after the broadcast.
My
buddies from Toronto, they brought some salt. What's it? Sleeman's and Canadian. And we had some Pizza Populous.
That'll do it.
It's like the good old days.
Good man themselves. Now, sitting on the other side of the table from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, and soon a daddy-to-be, it's Professor Matt Meyer.
That's right. Actually, I am a daddy-to-be.
Well, you are a daddy-to-be. That's right.
Very, very soon.
So do you do the beeper thing?
I have a cell phone on me. I would not have one on me for any other reason than this.
Yeah, so
that's I've got one that's never turned on. No one has the number but Laura.
Well, there you go. Well, this is the program where you can send questions about babies and Tiger baseball and women inside men trying to burst out, those kind of things. And if you stump the panel, you'll win one of our terrific T-shirts. And if you don't stump the panel, you'll still get a terrific T-shirt. So what is there to lose? And all of today's questions are email questions.
Ooh,
and we left off last time in the middle of a set of questions from Michael Wenzinger of Rancho Vista, California.
Where it's probably like twice as warm as it is here in Detroit today.
Oh, my God, yes. Truly. And my idea of hell is the lowest circle of the inferno, that Satan was encased in ice, okay? Waiting for the bus that never came with one glove, a cigarette, and no matches. That's, what do you think, Jerry? You think that's an idea of hell?
Yeah.
There you go. I figured
that. That's on the top 10 for Letterman. I know.
Absolutely. So let's see. Where did we leave off? Here we go. All right. Which U.S. president was not a citizen of the United States when he died? He'd, of course, be a citizen when he was president.
For all his life up to then.
I've never heard this piece of trivia before.
Isn't this
okay,
amazing?
Okay, they must have moved somewhere else.
This is an early president.
Maybe to Canada?
Well,
or
think
England.
Also about something that happened in the 1860s here in the United States that might have made him, given him different citizenship.
Oh, Johnson?
Well, no, this would be an early president.
Oh, earlier.
It was the 10th president of the U.S.
Jackson? No.
Polk?
No, another kind of obscure one after Polk.
Tyler.
10th president of the United States.
Tyler.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah, like not like Steven Tyler. Everyone knows who Steven Tyler is, but they don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, I just love watching my nieces now being huge Aerosmith fans. It's just
especially when like their first album came out like 71 or something.
Thank you.
Like that.
I know. But they are. When they played down at the Copa, they were there.
I know. It's incredible.
Well, Tyler died in Virginia on January 18th of 1862. So that would have made him a citizen of the Southern Confederacy.
Wow.
The CSA.
Weird.
Indeed. Yes. So yeah, he didn't blow off to England or Canada. Okay, in the original television series of Star Trek, what was Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy's middle name?
Oh,
give me a break.
I know.
I should know.
That would be a cool name, Dr. Leonard Bones. Give me a break, McCoy. That's kind of a cool name.
It's actually, if I remember correctly, it is a...
Here's the expert.
Here we go. Hey. This is Dan Maggio. And Dan, we have jellies today. There are cookies with jelly on them that Dan likes. Dan, here's the question as you walk in and are rushing about, you poor thing, but in the original Star Trek, what was Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy's middle name?
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, does it sound like a female name? Is it like Marion or something?
It's a classical name given to those types of stories that were, you know, rags to riches American stories.
Wow. Super trivia.
Horatio.
It is Horatio. So his name was Dr. Leonard Horatio Bones McCoy.
Honestly, that doesn't ring a bell.
Well, he does mention it was only mentioned once in the series.
Tiberius is cooler.
That's it. Everybody remember, I got a Star Trek right now. And I'll never get another one, but...
But you did. Way to go, Cheer. You're the man. Okay.
Rags to riches, that'd be me.
That's bad. Rags to
riches. I didn't get to the riches,
but I got the rags. Got the rags all over me.
Okay, ODB.
In the television show The Man from U.N.C.L.E., U.N.C.L.E. was an agency of the government. But what did UNCLE, U-N-C-L-E, stand for?
We've been asked these questions before, years ago.
United
National.
I never watched the show, so I'm guessing.
Network, yes.
United Network.
Of clandestine?
No. Clandestine is good, but this is more like issuing orders.
Command.
Okay, so United Network Command. And think of what's kind of the area that our Eric Barnes is in.
Law.
Legal.
Law enforcement.
Enforcement. Yes. It's the United Network Command for Law Enforcement. It's a pretty long acronym to boot.
Wasn't there like a Girl from U.N.C.L.E. series or something like that?
Yeah, there was. I'm trying to think there was.
It didn't pan out nearly so
well. No. But I remember they had a lot of Man from U.N.C.L.E. stuff. I remember my brother Terry had a radio that turned into a machine gun.
Ilya Kuryakin,
yes, because it was David McCallum who played the part of Ilya Kuryakin.
Did someone from the series recently pass away? I think I remember a headline.
Well, I know the guy who does the commercials for Sam Bernstein, that voice, what's his name? He was also in Pootie Tang. Robert Vaughn.
Robert Vaughn.
Yeah,
right.
he played the other man from U.N.C.L.E. I'm not sure. I can't remember his
name. He also wrote a dissertation on the HUAC stuff that's actually fairly good.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, I got to check that out.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Alphabetically, what are the first and last countries that are listed in the current CIA World Factbook?
First one is Afghanistan.
Yeah, Afghanistan.
Well, here, let me pull it off Zimbabwe. The shelf here.
Zimbabwe.
Yes, it is. Afghanistan and Zimbabwe.
Yes.
That's interesting that the CIA has their own World Factbook.
Very it's online, too, by the way.
Think they ever use it?
That's a good guess.
Don't give the president the wrong answer.
Yeah, really.
It's online, www.cia.org. Or no, .gov it would be.
.gov, okay. Well, I'll have to check out that CIA World Factbook. It would be terribly interesting, no doubt. The land beneath restricted airspace R4808 has been declared by public law to not exist. And that's public law 99606. What is a commonly used name for this place?
Area 51.
Yes, and where is that located?
Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
And that's a designation for all military complex that's known as Area 51. Another secret government conspiracy
smell. The Martians live in comfort.
Can you spell Roswell?
Okay, let me ask at this table, since we have a great collection of minds here, of different disciplines. Don't deflect compliments, gentlemen. I mean, do you believe in alien forms of life? Do you believe in extraterrestrials? And
I work with some.
Okay, now Dan has definitive proof.
Yes, I believe in it for sure.
You do. Jeff, what about you?
Absolutely. What was that quote from Contact? If it was only us, it would be a terrible waste of space.
I like that. Jer?
Yeah, I kind of think what always conjures up in my mind is that Gore Vidal short story that they made into a teleplay with Cyril Richard.
Yes.
A Visit from a Small Planet. Where, you know, the guy comes in there and he can do all this magical stuff, but he turns out to be retarded and they have to take him back. And you know, but yeah, I think there are others than us. Yeah, I do.
I don't think they've been here.
Oh, you don't think they visited?
Well, it depends.
I think why they would.
Yeah, if they looked at primetime TV, they'd probably spin the spaceship around and go back.
Cedar Point. Bella, no. What about you, Matt?
I honestly,
It's a very difficult subject for me because the scientist in me says that since there's no data, there is no conclusion to draw.
Okay.
Like Jeff is saying, so it would be a matter of faith, not a matter of science. And I don't know what my faith is.
I disagree with you. It is a matter of science.
It is not a matter of science.
Dan works with them. Come on.
Well, I've had some as students. That's what my little singer was going to
do. I'm just thinking of all the millions and millions of planets.
Millions and millions.
Why would ours be the only one that develops life?
Absolutely. And that,
so probability would say
that would be,
there's more than one.
That would be a matter of faith. I have no chemical, biological, or physical data to present to you that disproves or proves that people from other planets...
We don't have any of that.
Come work with me
someday.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
No, that's just... it'd be, you know, disregarding what I've studied for so long. You need proof to disprove something. So that's all.
Well, Dan, I think you better talk to those people you work with.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I want to meet them now. Take me to your leader.
Take me to your coworker.
No, I didn't mean leader. Sorry, D. Leo.
Ooh. Milton Supman, that's S-U-P-M-A-N, was born on January 8th, 1926, in Franklinton, North Carolina. Who is he, or better known as?
What year?
1926. Whoa.
Milton.
Milton Supman.
Is he the salt guy?
S-U-P-M-A-N. No.
Morton.
Oh, that's Morton?
Yeah.
So the answer really is no.
No. Think of the last name Supman.
Campbell's guy.
No, he's not the Campbell's guy. This would be somebody who was very popular in Detroit.
The Faygo guy?
Soupy Sales.
Soupy Sales. Yeah. Absolutely.
White Fang.
And Black Tooth.
I used to sit there with the TV tray.
Oh,
there
big time.
That TV.
Oh, love that. Yeah. He was dead funny. Did they have that, in Pennsylvania or New York, did they have like kind of a local person who did cartoons, kids programming?
We had Commander Tom in Buffalo.
Tom
Joles, a local weatherman. He was Commander Tom.
Did he dress up like in anything?
I don't know. I was five.
Okay.
He had a red suit on. Looked official to me.
Okay. Hey, that
Do you remember Morgus, the weatherman?
Absolutely, totally.
He had this wild lab coat.
Very.
He looked like he was
insane.
You know, like Timothy Leary.
But he probably was. But he was great, you know?
Yeah.
What about in Erie, Dan? Did they have anything on Erie Vision like
Not
that?
Really. Our Mary used to dress up in women's clothing, but other than that.
Okay.
And that's...
No, actually, I don't really remember as a child.
Okay.
Much.
That's all right, Dan. There's ways to get around.
But I don't believe that we had any... unique personality.
Soupy was, and we also had Poop Deck Paul.
Yeah, Johnny Ginger.
Johnny Ginger.
Yeah, Johnny Ginger came out in the morning before school.
And of course, because we were so close to Canada, we also got Mr. Dress Up Friendly Giant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Davy and Goliath on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
No, Davy and Goliath. I remember them.
Oh, Davy and Goliath with those. Yeah. Well, while we think about those lovely cartoon days, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1995.
Thank you.
You're After welcome. Whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
President Kidd's wife. No. The president's
kid. Kid, that's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter.
Yeah.
Ruth.
Yeah. Was that an illegitimate
kid? Yes. She's the one that, you know.
Is that the where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland.
Okay.
Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh, because they don't know.
That's right. They're stupid
people. They're not like intentionally misleading.
No,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Oh. Uneducated,
what?
Stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that
yes.
What you're
Edwin
to
is there? Leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated, they're stupid, highly paid people.
That's
just
right.
They are. But we're not bitter, okay. I'll say that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October 2003. We're pleased to bring you these classic Ask the Professor shows throughout the summer months, and want to remind you that the current panel of professors returns in September. Now let's return to this classic episode from January 2003.
And we're back with questions from Michael Wenzinger of Rancho Visto, California. And that just caused a whole lot of discussion about wonderful childhood. In fact, I'm going to move to his question for the panel right now because it's just such a nice segue.
So moved.
Thank you. Seconded?
Second.
All right. Approved. What was each of your favorite television cartoon show as a child?
Battle of the Planets.
Battle of the Planets.
Yep.
Okay.
It was originally Hachiman, and then it was later made into G-Force on the Cartoon Network. But originally it was Battle of the Planets.
Sweet. Okay.
I have a tie. Johnny Quest and Super Friends.
Okay. Hey, those are cool.
But Johnny Quest
They'd
was
be in
very
my top
cool.
10 list.
Okay.
I would say, like Woody Woodpecker, the Andy Panda one. Yes. He used to bother me because when I went to learn how to swim, you know, we missed him on Mondays.
Walking, there you go, bad scene.
That and what's the other one? There was always Rocky and...
Oh, Rocky and Bullwinkle,
Rocky
yes.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. And, of course, the most subversive Top Cat, but he didn't last
Top
long.
Top Cat ruled. I love Top Cat.
Arnold Stang.
What about you, Matt?
To be true to my childhood, I would have to say Transformers, but to separate myself from the commercialism of the toys, since there were no toys for Scooby-Doo when I was growing up, Scooby-Doo was what I religiously watched. Had
my son's
no
read
market.
A million books, and he watches it on TV.
It's huge.
And
my dad
He's,
loved Scooby.
Yeah.
He was Scooby-Doo. A total Scooby fan. That and he also
What
liked
are they doing
it.
In the van?
Yeah. He loved Scooby, and he also liked Pee-wee's Playhouse. But his other favorite, yes. I remember on Saturday mornings, was Fat Albert and the Cosby Kid.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of great. But I have to go with Top Cat.
Yeah.
I thought Top Cat rocked.
Yeah.
And because he was just such a great alley cat, and he had an answer for everything. So, okay. All right, so back to the other question.
He was too smart for his own good.
He was.
He was not on TV very
Although,
long.
I have to admit, liking some of, like, Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did love Pepe Le Pew.
Well, those were the animated works that work, like Bullwinkle, at multiple levels. Like Rugrats, for instance.
Yes.
Like, I laugh at something,
yes.
and Dylan doesn't think it's funny. He laughs at something, I go, that's stupid.
Right.
And it's the same thing with Rocky and Bullwinkle and Pepe Le Pew and some of the others, yeah.
Do you ever see the cartoon? It was on Fox. No, it's on... The cartoon channel, it's the adult with the smart aleck baby and the dog.
Family Matters.
Yes. Yeah, see this?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It is. It's very funny. It's out in Rhode. Takes place in Rhode Island. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, because
in Quahog.
That's at Quahog. Yes.
But I was watching it for a while, and then I lost. Is it still on?
Yeah, but it's
got
on
the Adult Swim.
Like yeah, what time?
Adult
you know,
cartoons. Yeah,
after 11.
Not adult cartoons.
Yeah, it's
cartoons
on
for grown-ups.
Yeah,
they call it.
It's on at night, so you know they make
it's
sure no little ones will
I never
watch
saw
it
when it was on Fox.
That and Futurama.
Don't you think that the baby on that reminds you of Jim Bob, somebody that we know? Who had
an attitude,
yes,
sure.
Yeah, had a hormonal problem,
yes.
Unbelievably. Okay.
What cartoons do people still watch other than, I know everybody likes
Bugs
The Simpsons.
Bunny.
Bugs Bunny?
Love
oh,
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Rules.
I recently bought the...
South Park. SquarePants.
Well, yeah.
Does South Park count?
I hope so.
Of course it does.
I hope so.
Of course.
Those are,
I don't watch it, I just know about it.
The other day they had the school pictures episode on. Dangerous. We'll have to wait for
I have
a break.
Not.
Oh my
god. Awesome. Is that a rerun or
it was a rerun, but I thought I was gonna need plasma after. Okay.
I usually,
you know, one of those things that you're just like, I've depleted all my red cells, I've laughed so hard, all the oxygen's just been sucked out of my marrow. So yeah, that way. Okay, back to the questions. Who was the first African American signed to play in the National Football League? This goes back to 1946.
Oh my
Woohoo!
Gosh. Cleveland
was early.
No, I was going to say Cleveland.
Can we ask Rush Limbaugh about that?
Too bad Beth isn't
dun,
here.
Dun,
she
dun,
knows. Yeah, what says Rush Limbaugh?
Not Gail Sayers.
No. This is a last name is the same name as a state in the Northwest and a U.S. president.
Washington.
Yes. And the first name is the name of a dear friend of mine that lives in Ann Arbor.
Ken.
Kenny. So Kenny Washington.
Huh.
And he was signed to play with the Los Angeles Rams.
With
and this
the
Rams. Was March 21st of 1946. So isn't that before the Jackie Robinson breakthrough? Yeah. Because wasn't it 47 that Jackie Robinson started to play?
It might have been before. Yeah.
If it was before, then how come no one remembers him? They all remember Jackie Robinson.
Well, Jackie Robinson wasn't the first African-American to play baseball.
No one remembers Larry Doby. He was very shortly after. He was the first African-American in the American League. And, of course, the Tigers, dumb as they are, were the last team.
No, they weren't. Boston was the last. They were the next to last. But
that's
then
right.
Boston and the Detroit organization were so tied so tightly. It was like a whole bunch of Southern redneck guys.
Good grief, yes.
That, you know, and that's why Boston has always had these losing white boy baseball teams.
Not to knock Jackie Robinson, but maybe it's because he was the first to play in Hollywood. You know, I mean, right there.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean?
But
publicity.
Oh, maybe that's it. But yeah, I mean, it's funny that you're right. That this guy just doesn't get a lot of press. Oh, speaking of the Family Guy, who is the governor of the state of Rhode Island?
Wow.
Do they need a governor? Wouldn't just like an ordinary old man telling people what to do be good enough?
For the size Lee of Rhode Singer, Island,
Great
I don't
White?
Think so.
No, that wouldn't
yeah,
be.
Yeah, really? There you go. I'm going to give this because Donald L. Carcieri.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't think that's one that everybody would know. Okay. Oh, here we go. On March 17th, 2003, a small satellite celebrated its 45th anniversary in orbit around the world. Though its radio signal failed in 1964, the satellite continued to provide scientists information regarding the effects of the sun, of the moon and the atmosphere on satellite orbits. What is the name of this 3-pound, 6-inch satellite?
No way.
Telstar.
That was a great song. Okay. But.
No idea.
Not too long after Sputnik.
There is a really famous jazz club in New York called the Village Blank. That's the same name as this. It's the Vanguard. Vanguard 1.
Oh.
If you ever go to New York, get tickets for the Village Vanguard. You'll see great, great jazz shows there. It says here that the satellite has made 178,061 revolutions of the Earth. It has traveled over 5.1 billion miles in the past 45 years.
Way to go.
He also claims here that it's the oldest man-made object in orbit. That would make sense, I guess. Somewhat sense. And finally, our last question for Mr. Wenziger. What are the names of the Powder Puff Girls?
Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup.
Absolutely. And their last name for a bonus?
Oh, my gosh.
I think someone's been exposed as watching more cartoons than they admitted to previously.
Well, I don't have cable, so I get it wherever I can.
That's right.
They have a last name?
And it sounds sort of like a chemical, actually. I'll give it to you. It's Utonium.
Utonium, yeah, well. Professor Utonium created them, generated them, whatever.
Well, so it's sort of like Pagan Baby. Their last name was Pagan. Yeah. That's what we always thought. That their last name had to be Pagan.
Sugar spice and everything nice.
And everything nice. Hey, guess what, guys? Mr. Wenziger has stumped the panel. We did not meet because, remember, he asked us the question that we had to get to the 70 or 80%.
Oh, yes.
The Octothorpe, remember?
Awesome.
So, hey, you won. Michael, way to go. And we'll make sure that you get a t-shirt. And we thank you for those because they were fab-boo. Our next set of questions is more kind of an internal source here. They come from Lars Bowles. Yes. And Barb forwarded them saying these are from Lars. I thought these would be great questions. And they're entitled, The Quiz for People Who Know Everything.
Get some of those in here.
That pretty much covers everything.
No, Lars had sent us questions before. I know once Lars retired, Barb was really urging him.
Well, he
just
printed out some of the funniest, like, little one-liner things that I've ever seen.
He's a nice man. Yeah. And I know Barb wants to keep him more occupied. She said he can't just walk the dog and bother her now that he's retired. So, all right. There is one sport in which neither the spectators nor the participants know the score or the leader of that contest until it is over, until the contest ends. What is this sport?
Boxing.
Excellent. I wish this was on camera. Jeff, good right arm.
Faked you out.
Gave him a right.
You got to fake with the left before you go with the right.
That's right. You got to do that. What famous North American landmark is constantly moving backward? North American landmark that is constantly moving backward.
Oh, Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There is in our lifetime going to be some catastrophe at Niagara Falls. It doesn't have that much of the river to go back into. It's constantly wearing itself away.
Rock erosion, yeah.
Yeah.
The falls is moving.
That's what I note here.
Several hundred feet since they first found it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says the rim is worn down about 2.5 feet every year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Because
that's
there's millions of gallons of water that run over it every minute, constantly. So. Mm-hmm.
Soon, Niagara Falls will not be near Niagara Falls.
Ride the Maid of the Mist while you can.
I was
going to
say, do while you can.
You got to get that little baggy raincoat thing
weird.
There.
Have you ever ridden it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Dylan, Laura, and I, we were camping in Dunville, so we went. It was close enough to drive.
I think that's kind of a family holiday. I know my dad was afraid of heights, so he didn't mind the Maid of the Mist thing, but he hated that observation tower. Ooh. He was like, no way. You kids can go up there. But I'm staying down here. But the Maid of the Mist, as a kid, I thought it was really cool. I should try it as an adult. It would be interesting. Of all vegetables, only two can live to produce on their own for several growing seasons. All other vegetables must be replanted every year. What are the only two perennial vegetables?
Good question.
It is a great question.
Zucchini?
I would have thought so as well, because zucchini needs like a nuclear holocaust to get rid of it out of most
gardens. It's the cockroach of the vegetable kingdom.
It truly is.
So that is one of the answers?
It isn't, though.
It's not.
Is it one of the potato?
No, because I know potatoes have to be recalled.
How about onions?
Nope, same thing with onions.
See, tomatoes are fruits, but...
Yeah. Would it be something
I have grape tomatoes that just come up every year. They were never... We don't know why. They grow
like
across
carrots?
The driveway.
Whoa.
Yeah. See, and you think there aren't aliens, eh?
Yeah, there we go.
I'm just trying to think in our garden what
what automatically came back up.
Yeah, are they common vegetables?
Well, one is very, very common here in Michigan, and the fact that it's classified as a vegetable here, because I've only had it in things like pie or jam.
Rhubarb?
Yeah, rhubarb.
It's a vegetable?
It, that's what it keeps. That's
I thought it was a weed.
You're eating the stalk.
And it could be, you're right. But yeah, I didn't wouldn't have classified rhubarb as a vegetable. But that's what it says here, and Lars must be right. He's retired.
He
must know.
Jethro Gray. So rhubarb
is one, and the other is something else.
He got a dandelion, so
yeah, that's
that
true. This is a vegetable that you can eat, usually better in the early spring. Sometimes people eat it by the stalk, or you can use
asparagus.
Asparagus.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what it claims here is asparagus and rhubarb.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, what defines a vegetable?
Don't look at the liberal arts faculty here.
No, you're not eating the fruit. I mean, that's the thing. Fruit is not just fruit. It's fruit. Like a green pepper is fruit because it protects the seeds. And
A
green bean is fruit because it protects the seeds. And you're eating a vegetable, you're eating a part of the plant, like cauliflower or broccoli or asparagus.
But rhubarb.
I just channeled Greg Grabowski.
I was going to say, really good.
So are you saying a green pepper is a fruit?
I think green pepper is a fruit.
Oh, my. I'm not going to put it in my next fruit salad, I'll tell you that. But
it's good.
It is good, but I'm not so sure. But, yeah, it's rhubarb that way. I mean, does anybody else have – did you get rhubarb when you were growing up?
My uncle had a rhubarb tree. My mother always used to make pies from it.
Yeah, the rhubarb patch. I mean, it's very tart. You've got to add, tons of sugar in it.
Yes. There was a stock growing at the corner. You know, I can lap it in Waltham, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
for those
okay.
of you from Detroit. And about 1960 or 61, we went out there and picked a stalk of this thing, and we took a bite out of it, and we gagged, just like that's going on in the back right now. Yeah.
Poor Dan. And, Dan's having rhubarb flashbacks.
Yeah, you would need like a brick of sugar on there or
well,
something.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
You do. You have to use a lot of sugar.
I never had after. It's been over 40 years, and I never have the desire to try.
Yeah, rhubarb and custard pie, rhubarb strawberry pie.
Nine.
And like 15 cups of granulated sugar. Very good for diabetics especially. Okay. Oh, and we have to stop there.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building basement on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor today is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Barbara Bowles. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Go Wings!
And we're back next week with another classic edition of Ask the Professor, so please plan to join us.